Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are learning Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of the book of Zechariah. We are just about there to complete the book of Zechariah. This Perek consists of 9 psukim, and it is also focused in the future of the times of the war of Gog and Magog, the apocalyptic war of the end of time. Remember, just to follow the trajectory of the Perekim we've seen just recently, Perek Yud Aleph describes the imminent loss, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Perek Yud Beis talks about how there will be this battle in which in the future Israel will reclaim Yerushalayim in the future. And now, in the shadow of that, we move into the next stage. We're told in the first pasuk, which sets the frame for this Perek, by Yomahu, on that day, Yiyeh Makor Niftach, there will be this source, this which will open up, Leveis David Uliyoshvei Yerushalayim Lachatos Ulenizah. It's going to be an open source for those in Yerushalayim, the Beis David, the settlers of Yerushalayim, for impurity. There's going to be impurity, will be cleaned on that day. What is this referring to? The Gemara in Yuma tells us, quoting from Daf Ayin, Ayin Zayin based on Ayin Ches Amun Aleph, a very fascinating Gemara, which is basically connecting an image we have seen before in Yechezkel to this image in Zechariah. The Gemara points out that towards the end of Yechezkel, in his descriptions of the third Beis HaMikdash, he describes how there'll be this spring which will leave Kodesh HaKadoshim and it'll spread out water to all the lands around them. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Pinchas in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, that the spring, when it leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, will be just very, very small trickles as it leaves the lintel of the Holy of Holies. As it arrives at the gateway of the temple, it'll be a little thinner, like silk threads. That's how thick the streams will be. As it arrives at the hall, the outside entrance of the hall, it'll now be a thicker thread. Not the shesi, but now the orev. It'll be a thicker thread in the warp. As the stream reaches the courtyard gate, naase kafi pach katan, it'll be like the edge or the neck of a thin or jug. Vayna disnan Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Omer mayim. He describes it. Rabbi Yaakov says, Mikad ve'ela choy misgaber ve'oilad shemigel ha-Pesach beis David. And he talks about how it gets to the entrance of the city of David, and when it reaches there, it is like a river, flowing river. And that's when Zechariah is talking about how people, when they get to the entrance of Yerushalayim, they'll be able to wash in this cleaning water. And it describes in Yechezkel how this river will go out or to the east and to the west and really encompass all of Israel. The Malbim says that this might be actually metaphoric. What that means to say is that water is sometimes a metaphor for knowledge, for wisdom. And the wisdom, or the true wisdom of Hashem, is going to expand out of the Beis HaMikdash. We've witnessed now the first war of Gog and Magog. There's going to be another one. The first apocalyptic battle around Yerushalayim. Upon its success, there will be knowledge which will leave Yerushalayim to the rest of the world and cleanse them of false ideas which have been taking them up. This is fascinating to think about in our times, witnessing the recapture of Yerushalayim, witnessing Yerushalayim being a center for not just technology, but for knowledge, but for godly knowledge. The people who come from all over the world to pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, witnessing somewhat of this idea as we witness it unfold. So what's going to happen? So now we have 2 sections of this prophecy. One section is from Beis Tevav, in which there's a description about the embarrassed false prophets. In this section, Zechariah describes how he will cut down the Atzabim, these false gods or deities, and no longer will we listen to these false Nevi'im. In fact, parents will say about their children that if they prophesy falsely, they'll cut them down rather than prophesy. And what will happen is there'll be these people who will be prophets, and they'll sort of take off their prophetic garb. And when people ask them what you're doing, they'll say, "Oh no, I'm just an Oved Adama Anochi. I'm a farmer. That's why I'm out here." And you say to them, "What are these makos b'ha'ele ben yodecha? What are these wounds on your hand?" They'll say, "No, Asheri Casey base me ahavai. This was an accident in my friend's house. What's going on? What's happening over here?" The general description seems to be that, as the Malbim understands it, as the Radak understands it, is that there are people who used to be false prophets, who used to go around saying things in the name of God, and Hashem did not really say them at all. And when they're confronted with this reality, when they're confronted with the falsehood they're spreading, they're going to suddenly take off their prophetic garb and they're going to say, no, I wasn't there, I wasn't involved. Oh, why am I outside by myself? It's not because I'm pretending to be a prophet, I'm really a farmer. They're trying to get rid of all the evidence that they were farmers. And in those days, as we see by, let's say, the Nevi'ei Baal, by Eliyahu HaNavi on the Har Carmel, they would mutilate themselves in the part of the occult, as part of their service, part of their pagan worship, would be they would cut themselves and they would wound themselves. When you point that out to them, then they would still lie and they would say, no, those wounds, they're from a base, I got this from my friend's house, this is not to be understood. They're running from their past, they're running from the things, the destruction that they used to say. We were only talking in those days, it was just talk, it was just words, it wasn't really. Even though people died, even though they misled people, even though nations were formed and deformed because of their words. The second and last part of this parak now runs from Zion to Tess. And in this it talks about how Hashem is going to talk about how his sword is going to fall on Uri Cherev Uri al Ro'iv al Gever Amisi. That Hashem's sword is going to be falling on this shepherd al Ro'iv, on my shepherd, against to strike down this man in charge of my flock. He's going to cut him down. And at this point in time, Hashem says he's going to cut down 2/3 of people, and the last third will be burnt in fire like someone smelting silver. So, and that remaining group of people will say, Hashem Elokai, Hashem is my God. What is going on over here? Who is this person who's going to be cut down by the sword? So Radak quotes Rashi, it might be referring to Esav, who was in charge of Israel in Golos, and Hashem says he's going to take charge from them, who was supposed to be the Ro'eh, who's supposed to be the shepherd of Israel, and took very bad charge throughout the centuries, allowing and causing Jews to die without accountability. So that is who it is referring to. The Radak says maybe perhaps it's referring to all the different vicissitudes of Golos itself, all the different ups and downs that were had throughout the Golos, leading to the wars of the Messiah. However, Malbim and Ababinel say something really remarkable. They say, you know what it's referring to in this case? It's referring to a very specific person. And that is referring to the leader of the Muslims. It's referring to Muhammad. This over here, the person who claims to be Uri al-Ra'iv al-Gevra Amiti, refers to Muhammad of the Muslims, Hashem, who says he'll cut down at that time. The person claiming to be the shepherd, the person claiming to be the leader. What is interesting about this is that if that's true, I would wonder if this parak is actually one holistic picture. The beginning of the parak says there's going to be this spring of knowledge which is going to spread forth from Yerushalayim. Truth is going to spread to the rest of the world. How so? There's two parts of the parak. The first part talks about these false prophets. I wonder if those false prophets, the prophets who are mutilated on their hands, might be referring to the savior of the Christians. Maybe what the first part, the people are going to be castigated, are those who took Judaism, took the Old Testament, and then refurbished it and packaged it and gave a New Testament and said, well, it's changed a little bit. Well, that myth is going to be debunked at this point in time. Then there's another group of people who claim to be the people that the Torah was abrogated. We really have the real leadership. We have the real mission in this world. And those are the Muslims. That's also going to be debunked. And that's why at the end of the parak, therefore, how is knowledge spreading around among humanity? The two most powerful monotheisms, which ultimately were daughter religions of Judaism, are going to be clarified. The truth about them. And although there is truth to be found in them, the ultimate truth of the fact that Judaism is and always was the truth of monotheism will be revealed at that point in time. I wonder if that is what the parak is getting at. And the Barbinel goes on to explain that. What does it mean to refer to when we talk about 2/3 are being killed, 1/3 is remaining? So what this could mean is, one way of looking at this, says the Barbinel, is that this is referring to the non-Jews of the world. That those who are not willing to change their minds, those who are not willing to understand the true knowledge which is coming out of Jerusalem, they will die. Now, it's not saying that Judaism will wage a crusade. This is Hashem's prophecy. We don't know how it will play itself out. But the only 1/3 of humanity who are non-Jewish, who are willing to understand what's really going on and adhere to Hashem, perhaps not as Jews necessarily, but as looking at God's knowledge and understanding that they need to reform their actions and their belief systems, will survive, and they will have to be reformed in fire. What that means to say is there's a purification, smelting process of their ideological belief system. Whereas another way of looking at this is maybe it's referring to the Jewish nation among the rest of the nations will be the only one to survive because they are holding the right cards. So very different ways of looking at this, but this is some sort of, again, end of days, apocalyptic kind of picture of how knowledge will spread, and ultimately the true knowledge, the downtrodden knowledge, the rejected knowledge of Judaism, where all the other nations look down and say that Judaism has been forgotten, has been changed, has been rejected, all the claims of the other nations, will suddenly at that point in time, everything will turn around. And the truth will shine forth, and it will shine forth from Yerushalayim, v'mehera v'yameinu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.